Good morning. I want to welcome each of you to our service here today. I want to say a special welcome to Faye. Good to have you here today. Always look forward to when Ernie, back in the days when Ernie came out and preached for us, very much enjoyed those times. Just blessed this morning the way the service, the different things have tied in with what we're going to be looking at this morning. This week, as I was thinking about the message, thinking about what I was going to share, we got the news that one of the cancer patients at the Rubio Center, where we were in Mexico, passed away. Her name was Deb. Al was a big black guy, very energetic, bouncy kind of guy, and interacted with our children, and it was a blessing to have them there. But as was thinking about that and as some of the things unfolded after that, you know, they talked about God freely, and yet as the reality of death came, it seemed like there was a lot more shallowness to the talk of God than what I had expected. Just as I was thinking, as we interacted with them, I knew there was some, he mentioned at one time that, yeah, we believe in God, but don't ask me to come to your church. He just made that statement in passing. So I knew there was some issue, some hurt, something in the past, or something that wasn't the way it should be, but I didn't really press the issue or talk more about it. And then as I was thinking about it, were they there for a reason at the same time we were? Did I engage in conversation enough with him? What did God have for me there? And as we're going to be looking at Mark 14, looking at Peter's denial of Jesus, before we get into that, this might be a little more for the older kids this morning. Won't keep you waiting too long. As I was reading over this passage, there was in Matthew 26:53 says, "Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels?" That's in one of the other passages of Peter's denial as I was reading the different passages. Struck by that, and looking at how many is in a legion, and there was different numbers came up, but the one that seemed like the most often was 6,000. So you have 72,000 angels that Jesus could have called, and so we see that no human force could make Jesus die for us, against his will. And then in a cross reference in Isaiah 37, it says that one angel killed 185,000 Amalekites in one night. So these numbers get a little big. If you have one versus 185,000, and then you have 72,000 times 185,000. Anybody have an answer for that? I'll write it out here and see, and have somebody read it.
Isaiah 37,
Can one of you older kids read that number for us? Yep, 13,320,000,000. And to put that in perspective, so if you have 185,000 angels, and one of them killed the Israelite enemies, 185,000 in one night, it would only take them till about 2 o'clock to eliminate everyone on the earth today. According to the numbers I found. So, and there was a lot less people back when Jesus was on the cross. So we serve, and then I was thinking about, 72,000 angels, that's a lot of angels. And how big must heaven be to not only accommodate all these angels, but yet, and then all the people throughout the ages that have served God. And sometimes we make God fit what we're going through, or sometimes God, it seems like God is almost not big enough to take care of our little problems. But when you see that, the power and the perspective that puts that in was a blessing as I was thinking about that. All right. Mark 14, we're going to be reading, jumping around a little bit, verse 27 through 31, reading across the account of Peter's denial here, Mark 14, verse 27, and Jesus said unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, Although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake the more vehemently, If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all. Let's jump down to verse 37 to 40. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldst not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed and spake the same words. And when he returned and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, neither wist they what to answer him. And then on down to verse 54. And Peter followed him afar off, even into the palace of the high priest. And he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. And then 66 through 72. And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, And thou also wast with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied, saying, I know not. Neither understand I what thou sayest. And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. And a maid saw him again, and began to say to them that stood by, This is one of them. And he denied it again. And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, Surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. But he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom ye speak. And the second time the cock crew. And Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept. In verse 29, Peter said very strongly that even if everyone else forsakes you, I won't. I'll be there. And then in verse 31, he goes even farther. He says, I'm willing to die for you. Whatever cost, I won't deny you. I found a quote that said, our faith is unwavering until it is tested. And I thought of something that Paul sometimes says in Sunday school. You know, in Sunday school, it's pretty easy to have the right answers. But when we get out into the world, out into everyday life, sometimes it's not quite as easy. And then in verse 38, Jesus told him what he should be doing. Jesus gave him the answer to his test that was coming. Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. And what did they do? As Jesus was praying, they fell asleep. They were tired. Life was busy. Whatever things sometimes that come into our lives that distract us as we go about our lives. When the test came, when Peter was asked if he knew who Jesus was, he wasn't sitting around the table with the rest of the disciples anymore. He was cold. We often think of that night as being a dreary night. He might have been wet, and he was scared. And so it was much easier to deny Jesus than what it was when he was sitting there with Jesus. And not only did he deny him once, but three times. The word deny means to declare untrue. And in verse 71, it says he began to curse and to swear. He didn't just deny it. He was very adamant about it. As we think about Peter's denial, where were the others? There was other disciples sitting there, and Jesus said they were going to deny him too. And it seems like Peter was possibly the only one that even came this far in following Jesus. So where were the others? And second one is Jesus was about to get crucified. He didn't know what they were going to do to him if they figure out he's one of his followers. And as we think about Peter, this was the same person in Mark 1. Mark 1, verse 18, when Jesus called him to be his disciple, he left the boat, he left everything, dropped it, and right away, immediately followed Jesus. This was also the same person who in Matthew 16, verses 16 and 17, had enough faith to walk on the water, at least for a little, until the storm came. And it was also the same person who Jesus, one of the people who Jesus took along to Mount Transfiguration in Mark 9, verses 2 and 3. He wasn't necessarily somebody who was new to Jesus. He knew who Jesus was. He was there with Jesus during his time on earth and had seen a lot of things that Jesus did. And yet, in the moment when he was tested, when he was not prepared, he denied Jesus. Like I said earlier, he denied Jesus with an oath. And then I want to read Luke chapter 22, verses 60 and 62. From what I could find, most of the accounts of this just said that Peter remembered that what Jesus had said. Luke records a little differently. Luke 22, verse 60. And Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And Peter went out and wept bitterly. So we see Peter's response to, I've often wondered what exactly that look, what exactly that look was like. Was it the piercing condemnation from Jesus, or was it a look of pity, of love, and forgiveness that Jesus knew the work that he had for Peter? And as Peter went out and repented and wept, and later was used as a great pillar in the early church. So three ways that we can deny Jesus today. It kind of covers the story of Peter. Now, how do we apply it to us today? The first one is denial by an explicit and open statement, not the kind that you would do in Sunday school, but this was what Peter did here. He made a statement to the people around him that he didn't know Jesus, and most of us probably wouldn't do that, hopefully not. Maybe if we were in the situation Peter was, maybe we would, hopefully not, but number two is denial by silence. And in 1 Peter 3:15 says that we are always to be ready to give an answer of our faith. And that was the one that struck me as thinking of Al there and interaction with him. We talked some, but did I really give him a picture of what Jesus would have, and engage in conversation and get him to think about where he's at? And then the last one is denial by hypocrisy, living differently than we say a Christian would. And sometimes I think the people we come in contact with, they often expect Christians to live in a certain way, and sometimes they expect a higher standard of us than what we are willing to live, or than what we live, and that's to our shame. But that we don't deny Jesus by the way we live, but that we live the way that we say a Christian would, the way that Jesus would have us to. And verse 38, we said, was the answer to Peter's test, and I think it's the answer to our test as well, that we watch and pray. And these words came up in our New Believers class. As we think of Jesus returning, we're supposed to watch for that as well. And it's not a sitting on a chair waiting as much as an action word. We're to be busy doing the things that God has for us. And another... in Matthew 28, verse 19, Jesus said, "Go and tell everyone." That's a short paraphrase of that verse, but we are to spread the good news. And sometimes we think, well, Johnny did that in China and he did a good job at it, or this person went to Africa and they did a great job of it there. But what about here at home? There's lots of people that we come in contact with every day that you know, may have misconceptions or just aren't following God. And are we active in telling them, telling others, what Christ has done for us? You know, what if we are the last Christian that someone talks to? We are not promised tomorrow. We don't know. Accidents happen every day, and people are ushered into eternity. And what if we were put there by God as the last person that that person talks to? You know, I think God brings people, crosses path with us and other people for a specific reason. And am I being faithful in meeting the purpose that God has for me in that? It could seem like a big job. You know, what if I'm the last person before this person dies? That can scare us, and, you know, what if I say something wrong? But one verse that has that I think we need to think about is in 1 Corinthians 3, 6, and 7. I'll just read that. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 6 and 7. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planted anything, neither he that watereth, but God giveth the increase. So it might not be that, you know, when we think of, I think Bill had some pictures of his garden, and as we think of the process that a plant goes through and the work that goes into, you don't just walk out into your garden one day and harvest a crop. Somebody has to plant. Somebody has to pull weeds. Somebody has to water. So there's a lot of work that goes into that. And we might be called to plant a seed for one person. We might be called to water for another person. So whatever our responsibility is in that person's life, you know, we can make a difference by maybe it's just a small word of encouragement, but it can help along the process. In conclusion, one question that I thought about a lot this week was how often do I deny Jesus by my silence? I get busy, I have stuff I want to do, I don't want to make anybody else feel uncomfortable, but am I denying Jesus by my silence? By not engaging in deeper conversations? You know, it's easy to talk about maybe God being in control of the weather or something that isn't invasive with somebody, but how willing are we to engage in deep conversations with others when the opportunity comes? And yet we're not responsible for the choices they make, but you know, you can't make them accept your message or what you're saying, but you as long as you do your part and present what God is telling you to, then you've done your part. And like Peter, none of us are above the possibility of not getting it right every time. As we see Peter there, he went out and repented and wept bitterly and came back to Jesus went on to be what God had for him. So verse 38, watch ye and pray, is the verse that I want to leave with each of us as we go about our lives, as we go from here. Let our light shine and be who God wants us to be. So with that, let's kneel for prayer.